You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Sorry, wrong show.
You're out of control.
The premiere of The Mysteries of Laura, followed by the 2-hour premiere of SVU tonight on NBC.
Oh, there's one more thing.
What?
Gung gung.
Hey, neighbor, it's me, that guy 2 desks away that never takes a sick day.
Seriously, you could always count on me to show up, even if I feel terrible. Which reminds me, I have the flu, and if you're one of the 63% of people that didn't get their flu shot, you can get it from me. You really should get a flu shot at Rite Aid, where you'll also get a free cold and flu protection plan to protect you from people like me. Another reason Rite Aid says with us, it's personal.
Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacist for details.
2 police officers in North Las Vegas are recovering from injuries they suffered during a deadly SWAT team standoff. North Las Vegas Police Officer Aaron Petty says they're still trying to gather information about the incident.
There weren't any other injuries reported to any other family members or persons that were inside the residence. We do know that investigators are speaking with them at this time, so we can try to find out the details of what happened inside.
Authorities went to the 100 block of Spur Ranch Avenue last night for a domestic incident that escalated once police arrived. 2 officers were shot during an exchange of gunfire with a suspect. Lieutenant Tim Bedwell with the North Las Vegas Police Department says the officers are expected to be okay.
When I went in with the officers as they arrived here, I can tell you that UMC staff was right there on the spot to accept them.
A federal judge says a big publishing company does not own the rights to the song Happy Birthday to You. Warner Chappell Music says it owns the song since it bought the publishing group that had the copyright for it. Now a judge has ruled that the publishing group had a copyright only over arrangement of the song and not the lyrics. This is USA Headline News.
Inventory is everything. Product sitting on shelves is money sitting on shelves. Managing our inventory is key. That's why I use KeepStock Solutions from Grainger. KeepStock Solutions help keep just the right amount of inventory on hand. KeepStock Solutions help keep the cost down. KeepStock Solutions keep me a happy camper. What's the key to better inventory management? KeepStock Solutions from Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Visit Grainger.com/KeepStock for more information. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Republican presidential candidate Ben Carson says he's not surprised his comments about not supporting a Muslim becoming president have turned into such a big story. He also isn't sorry.
I have been a pediatric neurosurgeon. I care about what happens in terms of the quality of life for the next generation. I will continue to fight for that. And if it costs me politically, it does.
Carson tells Fox News, Fox and Friends he had a right to support what he wants to support. He says he wants to support the things that have made the U.S. a great country. Ben Carson says there is a PC culture in our country, and he's willing to fight it.
You know, somebody has to stand up for who we are. America is a very unique place.
Ben Carson says he's still standing by his comments.
I never said that a person could not run for office. I just said I wouldn't support them.
Okay. All right, did you hear the one about the Pope? No, I'm kidding. No, actually, I'm serious. Pope Francis wants people to send him jokes. The Pontifical Mission Societies has created a campaign for people to send jokes that will be judged by a panel, including actor-comedian Bill Murray. The winner's joke will have $10,000 donated to one of 3 causes. The winner will also enjoy the title Honorary Comedic Advisor to the Pope. Now, a number of celebrities have already submitted jokes, including TV host Conan O'Brien, whose entry was this. All right, the California drought is so bad, people in Napa are asking the Pope to change the wine into water. The contest deadline is October 2nd, and you can submit a joke in writing or on video to jokewiththepope.org. I'm Ron Taylor.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hyde & Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hyde & Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. will work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Pat and Heidi and Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Good afternoon. The weather for our beautiful Hunterdon County, it is currently 71 degrees and sunny with a high of 78 expected. Tonight will be clear with a low around 50. And Thursday night, tomorrow night, will also be partly cloudy. Friday, partly sunny, high near 73. And Friday night, mostly cloudy. Saturday, partly sunny with a high near 72. And Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 71. We probably could use a little rain. None is in the forecast. So if anyone wants to do a rain dance, I'm good with that. Otherwise, it is 12:07.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program. And we are actually, I have a guest today, and it's a continuation of the first hour where I had, where Kim Pramatic and I worked on her show. And so she is doing, she is my guest for this next hour. So we've just literally switched seats. And let me just tell you a little bit about Kim. She is a corporate IT gal who turned Fortune 100 corporate trainer, radio host, and mentor who has helped thousands of people transcend stress and create more success and harmony in their lives, families, and careers. Seeing the keen yearning of parents and teachers for tools and strategies to support children of all ages, Kim founded the Raise Conscious Kids Global Network to provide inspiration, information, support, along with a sense of fun, with her weekly Raising Conscious Kids, or RCK radio show. Telesemesters, workshops, and online RCK community and resources. Kim delights in collaborating with leading through leaders, top authorities, true visionaries to support us all in raising happy, healthy, conscious kids. So welcome, Kim. Glad to have you on my half of our two-hour show.
Thank you so much, Ruth. I have to say, this is like being on Conan O'Brien. Not that I know what that's like, but your chair is actually higher than mine. And your whole table is higher than mine now that we just switched chairs.
Oh, isn't that funny?
Do you ever notice that we started watching the Colbert Report? We love Stephen Colbert. And his chair is way higher than the guests.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Isn't that interesting?
I feel like I'm in a pit.
there must be some kind of psychological thing to that. So maybe you could tell us a little bit more about how you got involved in this, not just the radio, but your whole career.
Thanks. Yeah. It's always fun to kind of take a step back, and I enjoyed hearing about your journey as well. So mine is somewhat similar to yours in that when I went into college, I was undeclared. So I was going in a different directions. So it's interesting because I've been thinking about that a lot lately because my daughter just entered college. So when I entered going in, I was interested in accounting, information technology, communications, such as this, and biology, because I was thinking about going into physical therapy. So I had a lot of different interests, but I focused in on IT, and I actually loved it. I loved that it was black and white. I loved that, you know, it was like math. You know, you would write a program and do a system, and you had, a goal in mind, you had something that you wanted to accomplish, and it was tangible, verifiable results. So I loved that about IT, and I did that career for a long time, not really realizing how stressful it was to be, you know, on call. Those were the days when, you know, we didn't have cell phones even. We had beepers. I mean, I'm not that old, but, you know, technology has changed so fast. So we didn't have cell phones, but we had beepers. And so, you know, I'd be out to dinner on a date and I would get beeped. And, you know, so it was just crazy. And so when I got, but I loved the work and I loved the people. Like, I loved corporate America. So I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, yeah, I hated corporate America. I actually liked it. You know, I liked the structure. I liked, you know, we were talking about before, the discipline of it. Right. You know, those things are just, you know, I'm naturally wired that way. However, when I had my daughter, I just knew that I did not want to be responsible for anyone's, you know, multi-billion dollar logistics system anymore. You know, I was making great money as a consultant. You know, that was great. So we put our pool in. We got her fabulous swing set. And I, you know, this was when I was working part time. And I said, okay, this is it for now. And then there was a series of events, and then I really got into the world of personal development. Mm-hmm. Because once I realized, notice I didn't say psychology in college, so I didn't really, you know, have this background that you do. But once I realized that, you know, our kids, like, so all my issues in quotation marks, I mean, I don't want to demean them, but, you know, it is what it is. They're basically are from our childhood. And like you said earlier, up through like age five is when we're, you know, kind of developing our, you know, who we are and how we are in the world and everything. And so once I realized that, I thought, well, I really need to get into this personal development more. And I really just want to raise my kids. I want to raise my daughter. I want to raise my son. And being the planner that I've always been, we had planned that if we had chosen that path, that we could actually do that. So, you know, that it financially we had chosen, you know, we bought the right size house that we could do on one salary, like that kind of thing. And so it was really my whole journey into personal development. And like you had said before, like doors started opening.
Right.
My neighbor, we would be taking our daughters to dance class and waiting outside, you know. And so my neighbor was preparing to do seminars, and she was doing all the things that I was studying, like, you know, how to manage stress with humor, how to, you know, and she was doing these seminars. And I said, ah, I want to do that. And, you know, when the time was right, I studied. And that new, totally different career path opened up for me in the corporate training. And so as my kids, and it was great because by then I had two kids, and I waited because, you know, my mom passed when I was 21. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very aware of things can change in an instant.
Sure.
And to really like milk every day as the blessing that it is. That's my opinion anyway. That's kind of where I'm coming from. So I got into the personal corporate training, and then I would think, oh, I'm seeing these people once a month and, you know, we're having some good results, but wouldn't it be great if I could, you know, if I could see them even more, wouldn't that be great? And a door flew open for me to work with a coach. And I actually helped her set up her institute, like, you know, just really, really loved the world of coaching, trained in coaching. And so then I became, you know, a life and business coach. And then when it came time to really develop my online presence, I said, well, who do I really want to serve? Who do I want to support? Right. And I said, you know, when I kind of like, I'm a prayer and I'm a meditator. And when I did that and it came to me, because I was in a class, actually, like how to do a telesummit.
Right, right.
And so I had to decide, well, what's my telesummit going to be on? And so we went through this process, through this meditation. And when I thought of course, it's the kids. Of course, I want to support the kids. You know, I had been doing a lot of volunteer work with kids and families and stuff. So it was just a natural progression for me and just a way to take it global. You know, the internet is such a blessing right now. And now we it's a global community, and because raising kids is hard.
It is hard.
I agree with Oprah. It's the hardest job on the planet.
It's probably one of the most difficult jobs that we have as human beings. And unfortunately, so often many people are they parent the way they were learned, what they received
yes
as parents, and
yes
really don't provide good, solid, healthy parenting skills. Somehow we think just because I was parented, I know how to parent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you're doing is really important because people need to know how to parent, and I think it's a gift that you're giving people.
Oh,
so thank you for
thank
doing
you,
that.
Thank you, Ruth. It's my pleasure.
So actually we have to take a little commercial break, and we will be back in a few moments with Kim Pramatic and myself, Ruth Altamirroll, your host for Counselor's Chat.
What can you do as a member of Rotary? You can eradicate polio. You can promote peace. You can feed the hungry. You can help children do better in school. Because Rotary believes that by working together, you can do anything. This is District Governor Megan Jones-Holt. Learn more about Rotary and join me every Monday at 11 a.m. on the Rotary Hour, the show that is dedicated to answering the ultimate question of what Rotary is. Find us on the web at rotarynj.org. Rotary, humanity in motion.
If you're looking to get in front of thousands of new customers, connect with your current customers, you don't want to miss out on the largest business show in Hunterdon County. The 27th annual Hunterdon County Business and Home Expo, coming up on a new date, Thursday, November 5th, in a new location at Hunterdon Central High School in Flemington at the Fieldhouse in Common from 2 to 7 p.m. You surely want to sign up. You surely want to exhibit. Something you don't want to miss. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I'm Ruth Altamirroll, your host for today's program, and I have Kim Pramatic as my guest. As many of you know, it's very rare that I do have a guest.
Woohoo!
Yeah. however, Kim does the show right before mine, which is
Raising Conscious Kids.
And so we always connect. You know, she's coming off her show, I'm coming on mine, the news is playing, and we chat. And we have always talked about getting together and doing a show together. And so it happens this week, and we're talking about the difference between actually enabling and empowering our children, and talking about many different things, just to kind of give a little summation, I think, of what we had done prior to that. We talked about the importance of discipline, and that discipline is really about structure, and that enabling really oftentimes prevents children, prevents anyone from taking personal responsibility, that you're really doing something for the other person, which actually prevents them from learning. And then also I had talked about the importance of allowing our children to feel their feelings, and that I use this with my clients a lot, using the word "and." Like, I know you're really disappointed that you can't go out and play right now, and you know, you still have to get your homework done.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really helping to, you know, validate our children and do things like that, which actually that structure, that discipline actually helps them feel safe, gives them boundaries and teaches them limits, which then helps them as they grow up to do those same. We all need that. For those of you that are my show listeners, you know I talk about boundaries and limits almost every show it comes up, because I think it's that important.
Yeah.
So one of the things, where a little bit of where we ended actually was talking a little bit about eating. Mm-hmm. And so Kim, maybe you can, you know, give some of your thoughts on that topic.
Yeah, I think like we were talking about eating and helping your kids develop healthy eating and a healthy mindset around eating. And, you know, after a long day of work, we'd all like to sit down to a relaxing, peaceful dinner where, you know, little Johnny eats his broccoli and little Susie enjoys the halibut. And, you know, everyone chips in and cleans up after dinner. And, you know, that's kind of a Norman Rockwell painting. And so to get there, we really need some strategies and some tools. And so I'm really curious to chat with you about this. The different areas of kids. Like, so for instance, like one of my kind of places that I'm coming from. So when my kids were little, I'm a firm believer in breastfeeding for a lot of reasons, for brain development, for, you know, the nutrition, for the immune building and all that.
Absolutely.
And actually the brain development comes from, you probably know this, from the suckling motion and developing the jaw, and it increases the circulation to the brain, which is amazing. So anybody out there who's debating whether to nurse or not, you know, Ruth and I would both encourage you to get some support, because there is so much support.
Yes.
These days, even at the Hunterdon Medical Center has a lactation consultant that'll come in and stuff. So, you know, it's worth it. And you know, it's a new thing. So with my daughter, it was kind of, you know, it took us a little while. But then with my son, it was like, okay, you know, I think because I was more confident, then, you know, it was just easier. But so I want to talk to you a little bit about this. There are two different trains of thought. And one is to feed on a schedule. Like, okay, where I'm going to feed my child, you know, noon and then 3 and then 6 and then 9. And I, you know, anybody that's ever had a child knows that when they wake up, they're hungry. And that could be on that 3 hour or 2 hour or 4 hour, depending on how old they are, increment time frame. And so, you know, I always did what's called demand feeding. Mm-hmm. So when my kids were hungry, I nursed them, and I nursed them exclusively for the first 6 months because of it reduces allergies, sure. Potential allergies, right. And all that. And then introduced food, you know, probably like right at that 6 month, right at that 6 month time frame. So I'm just wondering what your, because as I was thinking about our topic for today, I was thinking about my kids and how, you know, how empowered that my daughter feels and how independent that I've raised her to be. You know, she just moved 300 miles away from home, and she's doing great. And okay, now what got us to this picture? Right. So, and how can I support others, you know, to do the same? And I think one of the things is if as a baby having that need of, oh, I'm hungry, and expressing through the only way that they can really is crying when they're really young, and then being, you know, not only nourished but, you know, cuddled and all that. I'm just wondering. So that's how I did it, and as a result, now when my kids when my kids are hungry, they have to eat. Like, it's so funny. It really carries on. And I was actually in a training with one of my first mentors, Patrick Collard. And I was snacking during the seminar, and he said, "Were you demand fed as a baby?" And like by the next day, he, you know, I was snacking again. He said, "You were definitely demand fed as a baby."
Well, I think, you know, I'm going to say this. I'm not an expert in that area of the choice that we make. I think it's probably a little bit of a combination of both, actually. And again, I had said before, balance is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because we don't want our infants to be demanding in terms of, I want the breast when I want the breast. There is a little bit of that. And yet at the same time, if they're hungry, it's really important to see to it that those needs are met. Because it's very easy for a child, even that young, what I'll say is this: When an infant is born, basically there's three parts of the brain. And the first part is the reptilian part. It's the very background, the brainstem area, which, you know, develops really quickly. That's the heartbeat and the lungs working and the stomach churning and all of those physiological things that all creatures have. Then the next part of the brain is called the mammalian brain, and that's more of the middle part of the brain. And that part of the brain is basically where our emotional centers are located. By the time a child is born, that part of the brain is fully developed. So that means a child, an infant, newborn infant, has full access to all of their emotions.
Hmm.
Do they have words for them? No, that's the frontal lobes part of the brain, and that continues to develop until human beings around 21 to 23.
Yeah.
So it takes a long time
that. Yeah.
So yes, the basic thing is crying. And crying, maybe even a little laughing and cooing, and those kinds of, you know, facial expressions, and those things are really important. So a child is going to feel hungry. A child is going to respond to that gnawing sense of emptiness in their stomach, and they're going to cry, and the parent's job is to respond to that. If we are too disciplined at that early stage to say, you know what, I'm sorry, your feeding is at 3 o'clock, it's 2 o'clock, you're going to have to wait, what develops for the child is a sense of abandonment. So it is a bit of a tightrope. So early on, I think the first 6 months to even the first year, to be a little bit more flexible with feeding, I think, is, you know, again, it's like, oh, well, I'm only going to change your diaper 6 times. Like, why would we do, like, we wouldn't, right? Exactly. I mean, we wouldn't do that. But I think as a child gets a little bit older, to help introduce that structure. Mm-hmm. So again, it's starting to set up some boundaries and limits. Mm-hmm. 18 months, 2 years. Yeah, that's, you know, again, that's when we can really start.
And then
start.
They're eating solid food as well, and
exactly.
They can talk. And
I think that it's also important to give your children, you know, we are so commercially driven.
Mm.
So because we're in a rush and we're in a hurry, we grab those Lunchables, you know, because that's what we do. And we don't give our children the opportunity to taste and experiment many different foods. So what do kids mm-hmm. eat? Macaroni and cheese, chicken fingers, or whatever, chicken
and pizza.
And right, exactly.
Yeah.
And then by the time they're adults, they like don't really have a wide range of experiences around food. So I think it's really important to give your children everything. You know, give them squash, give them mm-hmm. broccoli, and even if they don't like it at first, it's even, okay, well, why don't you take a bite of this, mm-hmm. and then you can have that. Mm-hmm. So just, it's really introducing, and again, I think so much of it's part of, you're part of the family, and this is what we're eating.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about enabling. Gee, you know, my husband only wants steak and potatoes. I'm a vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
My child, one child wants macaroni and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
The other one's going to only eat chicken nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
So now here I am, I'm making
four meals.
Mm-hmm. That's called enabling.
Mm.
So here I am as a parent, I'm going to make one meal,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we're doing. And again, it's that structure of sitting down together, eating together. It's a great way of, we don't want to focus on, you talked about the clean your plate club. You don't have to clean your plate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you eat until you realize that you're satisfied. You don't have to eat until you're full. You just eat till you're satisfied.
Yeah.
And the whole idea of, you're going to sit here at, which, you know, a lot of us had growing up, you're going to sit here and you're going to eat that, you know,
mm-hmm.
so here everybody else is doing something else, and I'm sitting here in front of my cold plate of
mm-hmm.
whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
and then I get it for breakfast the next morning. Does
mm-hmm.
nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It does nothing to empower. You know, it really is about, okay, let's make kids play. Let's make games.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make games of things,
mm-hmm.
so that it encourages them to try new things. And, you know, all right, well, you tried it once, you didn't like it. Well, maybe again, because I think we all know as adults, our tastes changed. My mom used to make pea soup.
Ugh.
She couldn't get me to eat pea soup, but it was always have a little bit, have 2 spoons,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll make you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. She wasn't going to make me a whole nother meal.
Yeah.
But, you know, today I love, you know, split pea soup.
So I'll never forget the day that my son came home and said to me, he was young, like definitely under third grade. And he said, "Mom, it's not my fault. My taste buds are just much more sensitive than yours." He learned that in school. And I said, "Absolutely, yeah, absolutely." And Dr. Oz did a study. This was many years ago when he was on the, he actually was on the BBC a long time ago. And he's always been involved with kids. And he did a study that it takes 13 to 15 tries for a toddler, young child to maybe decide that they like a food. 13.
Right.
That's a lot. So say you only have broccoli two or three times. Say you have it two times a week. That's months of trying broccoli, you know. So it's just kind of like staying the course. And like you said, like, okay, try one. We still do that. And so, you know, we get our menu. My kids are teenagers now. And their palate is much more broad. But it's funny because when they were toddlers and, you know, everything's kind of smushed up when they're really little, they ate everything. And I was like, ka-ching, I have kids that are going to eat everything. And I'm going to, you know, easily make one meal with sautéed spinach with garlic and olive oil. And, you know, then once it got out of the jar, I don't know, you know, and perhaps it's the taste buds actually change as they're growing.
There some of it is that I will say this. My mother never had a problem with her children eating food. She made her own baby food. So there was never anything out
there
of the jar.
There was not a transition.
There wasn't. Right. So if my mother made zucchini, even as an infant, it had been in the blender, and I got the same zucchini that any, you know, or anything, you know, chicken, anything. So they're really, the only really transition I would say that I probably had as an infant was texture.
Yes. And that's a huge thing. Right. Texture for the kids.
Oh, yeah. A huge thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, you know, that's just kind of an interesting.
Yeah.
An interesting thing. And, you know, the reality is, women now, many of us are working. We don't have, my mom is a stay-at-home mom. We don't have, you know, the time to say, oh, I'm going to do this and do that. And
plus, think about it. I mean, microwaves are fairly new. It was a cost issue for many parents and stuff. You know, it's just such a different world now.
Absolutely.
I tried to make my own baby food. It was not a success.
It takes, you know. It's,
and now they have wonderful organic, you know. And I actually did some research, and there's such, like when you steam a vegetable, you have to catch it at exactly the right point for all the vitamins, nutrients, minerals to be in there. And I thought, I don't know if I'm catching it exactly the right time. And did I just, you know, wash all the nutrients down the drain? So, yeah, I did try that. And if you'd like to make your own food, that's great. You know, that now there are so many. I've had some guests on my show on Raising Conscious Kids that actually, they make their own baby food. They're very much into nutrition, and that's how they grew up. And, you know, one is a vegetarian, so that has its own challenges.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, there's so much information, and sorting it out is sometimes a challenge.
Yeah, and I think that, again, there's so many things around food because we tend to socialize with food. I mean, we have, you have a party. What do? You have food.
Yeah.
You know, so. Or we have a funeral, and after the funeral, we, you know, go eat. So
eat when we're happy. We eat when we're sad.
And there's a book that I use quite often. If you came to my office, I have a little stack of books next to my my chair, and one of it's called the Grief Recovery Handbook. And I use that quite often. And one of the things that it has a little story in there about our relationship with food and how we use food in ways other than just for, you know,
nutrition. Yeah.
And it's, you know, little girl comes home from school, her feelings hurt on the playground, her mother, father gives her
here's a cookie,
right? Don't feel bad. Mm-hmm. And so now the child has the cookie, hasn't done anything with her feelings. They're just kind of covered up under the sugar and the feeling and the distraction of the cookie. Mm. And so what that does is it teaches us to use food in that kind of way. You know, those romantic stories where, you know, the woman is sobbing in the tub with her thing of Ben and Jerry's, yeah. You know, like that's not a healthy relationship with food. And we tend to teach that.
Yeah, it's learned.
It's learned. Yeah. So, you know, it's having a healthy relationship with food. And that's something that, again, as parents that we teach. Yeah. And children also learn by example. Yes. So it's not just what am I teaching my children, but what am I showing them?
Yeah.
We don't even realize that when we're standing there getting dressed and looking in the mirror and, you know, our little daughter standing there at our elbow, you know, with her eyes big and open and watching mommy get dressed and mommy saying, oh my God, I feel so fat. And the little girl's looking at mommy and going, well, you don't look fat, but yeah. If you're telling, saying, so
you must be fat.
You must be fat. It begins to put some thoughts in. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing too, I don't remember if I mentioned it before we started last hour or not, but parents play, in other words, oftentimes, if I have somebody that presents with an eating disorder, oftentimes that eating disorder is a direct consequence of something that's actually gone on in the family. So the person tends to be the what we would call the identified patient. She's the one or he's the one, because eating disorders happen to boys and yeah. also. But she's the one displaying the problem. There's a problem. And so oftentimes what happens, and I'm gonna use some, you know, terms of enabling and codependency, that there's magical thinking that goes on with children. So magical thinking means something's not right here in the family, mom and dad are arguing, maybe if I can get my room clean, or maybe if I could get better grades, or maybe if I can make breakfast for them. Or maybe I could do better in sports, or maybe I could be thinner. Mm. Okay, all kinds of things. Wow. Or, you know, or I'm going to clean my plate. I'm going to eat everything on my plate to make sure that mom and dad are happy. Mm. That's magical thinking, because wow. a child takes on the responsibility of the dysfunction of the family.
Wow.
And then what ends up happening is the child hasn't come up with the right formula. And so now they have what is called false guilt. And so now they feel guilty and responsible for the situation. And so the tendency is then that person ends up growing up and becoming pretty codependent, caretaking others, feeling responsible for others, enabling others. And they themselves have not been empowered, because somehow they felt that they were responsible for all of the crisis going on in the family. Mm. And so that's you know, if we're talking about enabling and empowering, that is something that can happen quite often. And I see that with a lot of adult clients that come in to my office, that generally speaking, we go back and end up talking about what happened in your childhood and where did you get these ideas and how's
what
it playing
ages,
out.
Oh, excuse me, what mm-hmm. ages can that start manifesting at?
Oh, it could start pretty early. It could start at age 3 or 4.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. There's an interesting, I don't know if you saw it on Facebook. I would say this little girl must be 3. She's 3, maybe 4. She's sitting on the steps and she's talking to her mom. And her parents apparently had just gotten a divorce. And she is saying you know what, mommy, very adult. You know, this is how you and daddy need to communicate with each other. You need to keep your voices low. You not argue with each other. It hurts my heart when you do that. And, you know, it's probably about a 4 or 5 minute little clip of this little, like I said, 3.5, 4-year-old talking to her mom about how her parents, you know, and so here she is taking on, at age 3.5 or 4, taking on the responsibility of her parents' relationship. Well, if you don't think that's not going to cause codependency, there it is right there at that early age. It's beautiful. I mean, on one hand, it's beautiful that this child is so intuitive and so wise. Yeah. And yet at the other hand, she's lost some of her childhood right there.
Yeah. So hopefully what we can envision for her is that, you know, I believe that our kids can be our gurus. And hopefully that little girl is in a space where she can give that advice and not be taking it on. You know what I mean? Hopefully. Let's
hopefully
hope that
that's
for her.
That's an awfully big burden for a 3.5-4 year old.
Yeah.
But you know, it's amazing because it, you know, you talk about the parents and their responsibility. I get them a lot of times now, they're already adults.
Right.
And so we have to go back and look at the past and find out where those missing holes are. And a lot of times it's for people learning how to actually stop enabling, start taking personal responsibility, understand that they need to actually do some healing from the childhood wounds and self-parent themselves in a way that's healthy. Mm-hmm. And so that's a lot of what happens in terms of a therapeutic aspect.
And so that's so fascinating because, you know, you're at that end when they're adults and I'm at, you know, now at this end saying, okay, parents, like, you know, we all have our wounds. We all have our childhood traumas and dramas and stuff. And so, you know, let's be conscious of those because these kids are coming in so wise and such lights. And my point of view is, you know, to let them grow and flourish and, you know, do our best to not dampen their lights, to, you know, just let them be who they are. Because in, you know, our generation, we were kind of, you know, there wasn't as much choice. There wasn't, you know, generally speaking, you know, we were kind of reared in a way. A lot of people, you know, we were talking about the Clean Plate Club before, like that was not a choice whether right. you finished, you know, whether you finished eating or not. A lot of people, you know, were not allowed to speak. You know, you're better, you know,
seen and not heard.
And not mm-hmm. heard. Yeah. So we're really in this time of this new world that we have that we may not be equipped with the parenting, you know, with general parenting skills, let alone add on to, you know, the internet and all that and, you know, how our world is now shrinking. And so, you know, how much to share with our kids and how to really empower them in a way that serves them, you know, to give them the roots and the wings. Like I'm right. at the wing stage now with my daughter and, you know, it's really been a time of reflection for me. And like I said earlier, you know, I got into this because once I realized that my seeming challenges were from my youth,
right?
I said, well, now it's my responsibility. You know, I chose to have kids and now I'm choosing to really, you know, do my best to educate myself, to, you know, get the training, get the information and get the inspiration. So, you know, so that I can do this in a way, and we all make mistakes, you
sure.
know, but to do it in a way that's, you know, doing my best and also having fun, you
right.
know, like to really enjoy each day because you turn around and then they're off at college.
And there's also such a shift that's going on in our society. And I say, unfortunately, that parents, a lot of parents, not all parents, but a lot of parents are, that's the word, it's just kind of slipped out of my head, giving up, relinquishing their responsibility as parents and handing it over to schools. The reality is that is not parenting. And it's really not the school's responsibility mm-hmm. to parent. But you need, as a parent, to educate yourself and what healthy parenting looks like. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important because relinquishing that responsibility does not help your children at all because they're going to come home and it's important that you are involved in their lives. I have had clients where kids come home from school. One goes to this room, the other one goes to that room. They have their computers, their TVs,
yeah.
their whatever in
yeah.
their rooms. They
yeah.
come down, they get their plate, they go back in their room.
Mm-hmm.
The children are extremely isolated.
Mm-hmm.
We have a huge, huge problem with drugs and alcohol. Heroin is just horrific. And so we have to think about what, you know, what is going on that our children are being consumed by this. And a lot of it, I think, comes from that sense of lack of family interaction. You know, I talked about just touch of, abandonment, with an infant. Well, it leaves sort of an empty space, like sort of a hole. There's just sort of something in our psyche and in our spirituality that there's missing. We mm-hmm. are by nature social creatures. Mm-hmm. That's why we live in families and towns and cities and countries, because we are social. And when we raise our children in a way that's isolating for them, it really leaves that huge space, and mm-hmm. oftentimes peer pressure becomes mm-hmm. so powerful, or mm-hmm. joining a gang becomes so powerful, because that is where we're feeling like we're connecting. And so often what happens is drug use helps initially to feel that feeling, believe mm-hmm. it or not. Mm-hmm. But as we know, just you can use heroin one time, it's so powerful one time, and become addicted to it. I am, you and I have never talked about it, but as a drug and alcohol counselor, I'm 100% against marijuana, because it's a gateway drug. Mm. And, it doesn't matter how much, we try and promote it, or we might say, oh, well, this might be useful or that might be useful. I always say, well, if cannabis oil is so important and you can go buy it from your local marijuana store, then why isn't Pfizer selling it? Why aren't I mean, wouldn't you that's what I would say. I would think the big pharma corporations would want to make money on it. So I don't know why they're not selling cannabis oil, where you can't get a real prescription for it. That's kind of my insight on that. But
I had the guidance counselor from one of the high schools on, and we were talking about some specific challenges that, and it's not just high schoolers now. This is tweens, and we live in a really nice area. And he was talking about, the price of heroin, and I did some research on that, because it's not something that I have a background in. I didn't realize how, number one, inexpensive it is, and then number two, how addicting it is.
It's much more powerful than it was in the 60s, in the 70s. The same thing with marijuana. Mm. It's about 64% more powerful now than it was, 30 years ago. And you never know what it's laced with. Mm. So it's dangerous. And sort of backed on that, and I'm going to have to make a little commercial break, but backed on that, you talked about, some prayer and meditation. I think that's also a really important part of child development, is teaching your children about spirituality. Mm-hmm. So that's helps round them out as a whole person, because that's, isn't that what we want to do? We want our children to become whole, healthy adults.
Yeah.
So to just focus on, setting goals and discipline and career choices and, getting into sports and physical health and eating and, relationship with food and choosing friends and setting boundaries. But it's also that sense of awe and respect for nature and the universe. And, mm-hmm. Not everybody believes in God. But if that is something with your family, to encourage that, mm-hmm. For your children, so that they're, it really is that full spectrum of who we are as adults.
And another level of connection.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I'm going to take a quick little commercial break. And I'm Ruth Altamura-Roll, your host for Counselor's Chat, with my guest, Kim Pramatic, from the 11 o'clock Raising Conscious Kids. So I'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Sorry about that. That's moving the mic. Good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamirroll, your host for today's program. And it is actually, we're ending the a combination of a two-hour program. We started at 11 o'clock with Kim Pramatic on her show, Raising Conscious Kids, and moving on to Counselor's Chat. So she and I switched chairs midstream here. But I think we've had a really great discussion, and I think before we continue, what I would like is if someone wants to get in touch with you, how would they contact you?
Oh, great. Yeah. So you can contact me directly at kim@raisingconscious kids.com. And if you go to raisingconscious kids.com, you'll see my website there. And if you put in your name and your email, you'll become part of our free community. I have a goodie bag, lots of gifts. You can hear the archived shows. We have amazing guests, amazing shows. I just love all my guests, including you, Ruth. You'll be in there. And a link to your site as well. So raisingconscious kids.com. And then as a bonus gift in your email, you'll get my interview with number one New York Times bestselling author, the one and only Marianne Williamson. So I interviewed her a while back. And so I give that to you as my gift, along with all the other goodies. So please join us and lend your support and your information, your ideas, and any questions that you have. Send them to me at kim@raisingconscious kids.com.
That's wonderful. That sounds great. So I hope people do go and look you up. And I need to get some learn some pointers from you. I can hear that. So we were just, I guess, just to sort of wrap things up, our topic really was enabling versus empowering. Mm-hmm. There's a whole lot to learn on that. One of the things that I'm not even sure if I can necessarily bring it up because Kim and I had exchanged some emails and she had some questions, and I had actually answered them, but I actually did not send them along because I didn't finish them. But enabling versus empowering, we talked about that in the beginning of your show, and that enabling, even though sometimes can be positive because we're opening up a way, oftentimes it is something that can be damaging, that we're really preventing consequences from happening, and we're caretaking and we're rescuing, and oftentimes that is actually more hurtful than helpful.
And actually sends the message to, I'm going to say our kids, but really anybody that we're in a relationship with, that they're not enough, that they're not adequate, that they can't handle it.
That's right.
And I think, you know, I had a meeting once with the with a counselor, a guidance counselor, a school counselor. And they said, well, you know, do you, it's like back to school night. And they said, well, you know, do you go through your child's backpack every day when they get home? And do you review the homework for the day? And I said, just point blank, and I said, absolutely not. You know, I know a lot of parents do it, but I said, I said, you know, that may work for some people. I said, that is not how we're choosing to raise our kids. I want my kids to feel enabled, that they can do it themselves, and right. empowered, that they are, you know, responsible. And, you know, I will help them if they want some organization or strategies, you know, happy to do that. Being the one that goes through the backpack, like that's like the backpack police. No,
that's
thank
right.
you.
That's right. So, you know, here's, you know, I'll have parents say, oh, well, I couldn't get my child to get their, you know, get to change their clothes, and they just wanted to stay in their pajamas. And I'm like, all right, so send them to school in their pajamas. You know what? Something's going to happen, and mm-hmm. there's going to be a consequence yeah. to that. And yeah. There I am using the word consequence.
Yeah.
And, you know, the child's going to make a decision that I don't think I want to do that again, because
yeah, it only happened once.
I use this little, like I said, I don't have any children of my own, but my stepson came into my life when he was 11. And
so that's young. You've had an experience.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And one of the things, my husband and I are churchgoers, and his mom wasn't, but, he didn't want to go to church. Mm-hmm. So I said to him, well, we worked as a team, my husband and I, saying to him, you know, you can't just, you know, we're going to go to church, but you don't have to come. You have that choice. Choice is important. And there's that big and. You're not going to stay in bed, and you're not going to watch TV and play. We have a chore for you, and we want you to weed all the weeds around the garage. So he said, okay. So we were like, okay, is that going to get done when we get home? Well, sure enough, because he made the choice, church or weeding, we got home and, you know, things were weeded.
That's
and,
so important. Right, choice is so
right.
important.
Right. And so, you know what, after that, he came to church with
us.
But that was his choice. I mean,
is so empowering.
Right, exactly.
Can't say that enough.
He knew that, you know, he wasn't going, you know, there's that structure. There's yes. some boundaries, yes. you know. Yeah, you don't have to come to church, but yeah. you're also not going to just, I say to my clients, be a puddle and just kind of spread out and do whatever you want.
Be a puddle.
Right. You know,
I love
so,
that I'm writing
know,
that
right,
down.
So there's some structure there. So anyway, listen, you know, I believe we can probably go on and on, and 2 hours is not necessarily
another
enough.
2 hours. We're going to have to do this again. Maybe once a quarter we'll do this.
Sure, because actually, we're actually at the end of our time, believe
it
or not.
Well, thanks so much for having me,
absolutely.
Ruth. And I would just like to say, like, you know, you can feel empowered, and you can empower your kids. And I'm going to add that the more empowered you feel in your life, the more that you can just like a vase overflowing, the more you can kind of just like ooze empowerment. And
absolutely.
So I'm just seeing and feeling everyone feeling more empowered today.
That's wonderful. Thank you. And thank you for coming on my show. And thank you for allowing me to be on your show. I think that
You're
was
welcome.
A great experience.
Thank you.
If anyone is interested in finding out about a little bit more about me, please visit me on the web at www.altarolecounselor.net. I know it's a mouthful. It's Altarole with two L's, counselor.net. If you have any questions or concerns or would like to set up a counseling appointment or a therapy appointment, you can reach me at 908-237-2899. That's 908-237-2899. Or leave a message of a comment that you might have on the show. Or if you have a suggestion for any topic, please, by all means. And I deal with all kinds of issues from addiction and recovery to depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, couples counseling, just many things. So please look me up on the web. And one of the goals that I have and the main purpose for Counselors Chat is to remove the stigma so that we can move towards mental health and My new hashtag is Mental Health Matters.
Amen.
So I wish you a good week, and we'll be back next week, Kim, with Raising Conscious Kids at 11, and I will be back next week at 12 with Counselor's Chat. Thank you. Have a good week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your